Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He made us, not we ourselves. The Schola sang this in today's tract after the epistle. And in the gospel we say with the blind man, Lord, that I may see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Charity believeth all things, St. Paul writes to us today. Charity is not provoked to anger. Last Lent, we followed St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face, and we would do well to follow her this Holy Face Sunday. True charity, she famously observed, you remember, is not scandalized at the worst of our neighbor's faults and is always edified at the least of his virtues. I thought of this recently when I read of a certain nun from the Middle East and Iraqi, a survivor of the war there who nursed the victims of the war. Her name is Sister Olga of the Sacred Heart. Now, once she had occasion to run into President George W. Bush. I admit, I sometimes have expressed my reservations concerning our former president. They're saying now that the man who initiated, he is the longest war in our history, Iraq, which has claimed altogether perhaps up to 1 million casualties, most of them civilian. Well, the nun told the former president, I pray for you every day that you will receive peace and healing, because I don't know how you slept after the night you made the decision to bomb Iraq. Bush's answer was very beautiful. Amazingly humble for a man of very great power, a genuine celebrity. He answered, I always rely on people's prayers. But it means a lot that somebody like you prays for me. A mild answer, Scripture says, turneth away wrath. Prayer. Let us consider together the third tool of our Lent and of our life. But this tool needs always to be in our hands. First thing in the morning, and as we pray, the very last at our life's end, it lifts us up to God, and more, it adjusts our vision. First thing in the morning, we need to reach for prayer as we who are visually challenged, for our glasses, so that we can see Him, the Lord who made us, His holy face, and all things as they really are. A lifeline. You've got to pray, or else all you'll see is not yourself or your Savior, but only them. Them? Well, I mean the demigods, the idols, the wannabes, our heroes and celebrities, who, although residing on kind of a cultural Mount Olympus, still manage to crowd our vision and our thoughts, with their money and their vulgarity and their notoriety. The media, which is, of course, in the hands of the organized forces of naturalism, the media makes them, choosing one and leaving another in the shadow, promoting and deciding which shall be our celebrities, choosing from that selection of potential false religions, the people go after. It could be the military, it could be sports, it could be government. It's usually the so-called entertainment world. The media, think of it, is made for them. It seems that they are its essence, its matter. The media is made up of them. Oscar nominees and Olympic winners and sports heroes and some folks who are just famous for being famous, and most of all, the stars, the movie stars. Curious classification that, isn't it? I mean, to call a star someone who regularly sinks so low. If you joined the crowds at the supermarket yesterday, Father Chicata was out doing Father McKenna was sent out by Father Chicata to do his Lenten errands for him, stocking up on peanut butter and Rice Krispies and rice milk in abundance. And he reported when he got back that the shelves were bare, and Kroger's was so very crowded, as though somehow starvation were threatening middle America. Now, when you do go to Kroger's and you stand at the checkout stand, you can't help but notice, can you, the great display of devotional literature on offer for your edification. All sorts of papers and books and magazines chronicling the lives and the travails of these celebrities whom you are supposed to worship, to imitate their styles and their speech, and to honor them in their images, to care about their disordered lives. But of course, never actually aspire to join them, for they are a race apart, our society's gods. They have a name for it, you know. They call it celebrity worship syndrome. It's another almost religion, which is not. But it has its own rituals and sacrifices and its saints. They aren't gods, of course. They're not even close, nor are we. Worship reminds us of this truth, the adoration of our holy mass. The Lord, He is God. He made us, not we ourselves. And this world's gods slip out of our line of vision only in as much as we remember to pray. When we forget that, they climb on the pedestals, and it's almost as though we're going to be lighting candles in their honor. But St. Paul says that you and I, while not gods, are of the race of God, consortes divinae naturae, the sharers of the divine nature. How our life would change this Lent if I truly saw myself as an image of the Most High God. Trouble is, right now we only see through a glass darkly. A cloudy mirror vision we have to make do with. And that is why prayer is necessary. By prayer, we step out of line there in the grocery store for a moment, and we see beyond the gods they propose for our devotion. And we see instead what? Our Lord and His holy face. And we cry out for some more. Lord, that I may see. It all begins in prayer, like our day, every day, like our Lent this week. But it doesn't end there. Prayer is not a moment of time with our Lord, or even our hour or so on Sunday, followed by the Mondays of life, many moments of the old man and the same old way of thinking and acting, if not adoring or at least imitating the celebrities of this world with their standards and their styles and their speech. As though this world were all. No, prayer is meant, especially in Lent, to change us again, back into Christ's image, his holy face, to let the family resemblance glow forth, so that we start to think and to act and to react to people in situations, to respond, as our Lord did, even as 42 did when he was rebuked. Remember, O Lord David, and all of his meekness. Prayer it is which puts the charity back in, which defogs the mirror when resentments build up. And the only way I seem to know how to act is the world's way. So, of course, I fall back on it. In prayer, we see Jesus Christ offers us in this modern age, with every gadget and app imaginable, he offers us a true image of his holy face, the holy shroud, the miraculous veil of Veronica, a mirror in which is reflected what's on the inside, the thoughts of his heart, his love for us. All of that which you do not see ordinarily on the outside. But to look upon him is to see just the exterior, the resemblance to other men in a bad way. Not the glamorous, look at the holy face, not the powerful, not the popular, not the gods of today, but just an ordinary man bending beneath the burden of every possible reproach and attack and insult and rejection. But still, here with our Savior, waiting to be seen and loved, if only we would open these eyes of ours to see him, the Lord, the only God, as he is, and to see ourselves, and yes, to see the great gods of this world and the little people of seemingly no account, and the only thing that matters. He made me. He made me in his image. And of all of the images I will see today, flashing bright, claiming my attention, my affection, making their demands on me, of all of the images which want my homage today, there is only one which is worth looking for. And you could almost look past it, his holy face. For it is hidden, the stamp, the seal of the divinity. Outraged anew, as we say in the prayer, by blasphemers, lying hidden even there, lost in some lost soul. Seek him. See him. Serve him. And then assuage his honor by reparation. Even in the great, no matter how low they go, they think that they would become more if they make Almighty God less, as well as in the little people, and be lifted up by seeing in them the divine likeness. And this Lent, in yourself, made by him, in his image, O Lord, that I may see. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.